put your cell phone down for a minute and listen to this. And by the way, you shouldn't even have your cell phone at the Thanksgiving table. But anyway, people around the globe will take 1 trillion photos this year, according to the market research company InfoTrends. That's up from 810 billion last year. And not surprisingly, most of it is being driven by the use of that cell phone you're using today to Instagram pictures of pumpkin pie. The shift to digital photography has, of course, dramatically changed photography. Mark Osterman is the photographic process historian at George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film. That's in Rochester, New York, the heart of Kodak country. And earlier this summer, Osterman spoke about the future of photography with Jeremy Hobson.
Well, what do you think about this, that we're taking all these photographs, all of us untrained photographers taking all these photographs on our smartphones, and it has just changed the way that people take and share and keep photographs?
You know, it's interesting because my job at the museum is to research and teach people how photographic materials were made from the late 18th century up until around the middle of the 20th century. And people would expect me not to like digital imaging. And yet I think it's great.
Really?
Yeah. There are more people making images than ever. The sad part is there will be fewer images in the future.
Why?
Well, you know, if you think about it, in the evolution of photography, you started out with making images on daguerreotype plates. You know, these are copper plates coated with real silver. You made images on glass plates. You made images on metal plates, sheet iron for tintypes. Eventually make images on paper. And what are we making images on now? They're numeric. And so essentially there's no materiality to them unless you actually print them. And if you figure how many people actually print their images, they're really not very many. So, you know, once an operating system changes or a computer crashes or you lose your phone, I mean, figure how many images are on your phone right now.
But you could back them up, right? I mean, you're saying you would lose them because we're just not keeping them physically in the same way that we did before.
Right. I mean, you can back up files. The problem with backing up files is you actually have to keep updating the backup of those files. In the old days, if you figure, there were people who shot their images and they took them to the photo finisher and they came back with prints and they had negative, something physical. That would then be put into a shoebox and thrown up into the attic. And if you wanted to make another print from one of those negatives, you had a fighting chance. Nowadays, people generally don't back up what they have. And if they do, maybe they back it up on a thumb drive or a disk.
But you think they should be printing those photos?
Well, yeah. I mean, the only way to make the photos survive is to either share them with a great number of people. So that's one way of doing it. And the other way is actually to make a physical print. So, you know, there are people who do make digital photo albums. So they'll take them to a service or maybe they have the wherewithal of printing them at home with their own printer and make a physical object. But if the image is only numeric, there's a greater chance that it won't survive 30 years, 80 years, 100 years, 200 years, where we'll still have daguerreotypes that were made in 1839, 1840.
On the same token, right now, people's photos are being seen by probably a lot more of their friends and family than ever before because they're able to share them. And maybe they don't last forever, but a lot more people are able to see them in the moment.
Well, sure. The sharing really helps. But well, think of this. You went on vacation and you shot 800 images and you came back and you shared maybe 15 or 20 of them. And sure, if that is shared to many people and they share the image, there's a chance that they survive out there. There's a chance. But all those other images, all the ones you should have erased in the plane on the way back from your trip, you know, they're all the other ones that don't get seen. And maybe that's okay. That's a natural culling of images that maybe shouldn't have been taken or don't need to be kept.
There are a lot more people out there taking photos than there have been in the past, and they're not trained, and they are just – they're probably learning from their own mistakes and learning from what other people are doing. But do you think today's amateur photographers are good or bad, or how would you describe us?
Well, I think that one of the advantages of digital imaging – and you notice I say that instead of photography a lot – but one of the advantages of capturing the image digitally – is that you can see the final result very quickly, or at least the original capture very quickly. And now you have the choice to go back immediately and take a better image, better compose, or maybe selective focus, or however you want to take the picture. You have a chance now that you didn't have when you shot film. So that's really an advantage.
You don't sound like you're really mourning the loss of the way it used to be in the world of photography. At the same time, you sound like you've got concerns.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I'm in Rochester, so it's called the Image City. So I moved into this area and discovered that, you know, everybody had someone who worked for Bausch & Lomb or Kodak. And so the culture of photography is very strong where I'm living. And yet, since I've been here, I've seen many of the factories come down. The world of chemical-based photography is changing quite a bit. And, you know, there's a part of me that says I'm actually kind of amazed that we still have film, given the progress of digital imaging. The professionals don't use film anymore. There is a culture of people who shoot black and white film. There is a small culture of filmmakers who shoot on film, chromogenic color film. And yet the film industry has made a decision to not release their product as a physical film. That's numeric now. So the days of color film, it's really hard to say when that will change drastically to the point where they're not making it. But my sense is that when they finally do stop making it, when the big wheels stop turning, we'll never see that stuff again.
And from an audio perspective, I'm just thinking of this in my industry. There are a lot of people who lament the fact that we don't have the same quality in the music that we listen to that we used to on an LP, because now with MP3s and other compressed audio, the quality is not as good. Is it the same as you look at it with digital photography as opposed to the old-fashioned film?
Sure, it's cyclical. I mean, everybody says that. They say it in anything that has to do with a audio or visual technology. When the daguerreotypists stopped making daguerreotypes and the wet collodion process replaced it, the old daguerreotypist said, well, it's easier, but it's not as good. And the same thing happened when collodion plates gave way to gelatin emulsions, which is what we still have today. And that was in the 1880s. I mean, what we still make as chemical film started in the 1880s. It's had a good long run. And a lot of people draw a parallel between the resurgence of vinyl records, for instance, being a better, older technology. And we'll point out that there are people now making vinyl records once again. And pointing to film and saying, well, you know, that could happen with film again. Maybe they'll bring back some of those old films and papers. But, you know, making a vinyl record, I mean, that's a machine you can fit in your basement. To make film is rocket science. You have no idea how complex it is to make color film. It's probably the one consumer product that is the highest technology. And once that culture is taken apart, it will never be put back together again.
Well, Mark Osterman, a photographic process historian at George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, I'm sure there are many listeners who are lamenting what is happening to the world of photography, but of course many others who are very happy that it's so easy for them to take and share high-quality photographs with each other. We'll let listeners weigh in at hereandnow.org. But Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
I had a really wise high school photography teacher who said the most important piece of equipment a photographer has is a sensitive eye. It doesn't matter if you're on film or digital. And by the way, when we first aired this interview back in July, we asked you to share your favorite photos, and we're going to do it again. Post yours on Instagram and tag Here and Now. We will regram our favorites. You can take them by cell phone, Polaroid, pinhole, any kind of camera. We'd love to see them.